You're listening to a recorded talk from Greenbelt Festival.
We're going to start off today with a workshop from Grace Claydon on how on earth to parent. Grace is a forest school teacher, youth leader, and community organiser, and she's here to talk about her experiences as a new mum in the age of the climate crisis. A couple of things to mention, this talk is being recorded. So if you don't want to be recorded and you have a question or contribution to the session, just say that before you make your comment and we will be able to edit that out. This session may also be cover sensitive issues. We've got our wonderful wellbeing team over there in the blue jackets if you do need to speak to them. But with all that being said, can we give a wonderful big Greenbelt welcome to Grace Claydon?
Hi everyone, thank you so much for coming. It's so amazing to see so many people turn out. I made all my family promise they would come in case they were the only ones. But luckily there's loads of you, so thank you so much for coming. We're going to be moving around a little bit in this session because ultimately what I wanted to create was somewhere where people could talk to each other. So you're safe where you are at the moment, but I will be asking you to move if you're able to a bit later on. So... Well, I already was introduced, but I thought I'd tell you who I am. I am a mother, a forest school teacher, and a community organiser. And in this session, we're going to explore how it feels to be a parent, or a carer, or a grandparent, a godparent, an auntie or an uncle, whilst navigating this frankly terrifying world that we seem to be living in at the moment. There will be a particular focus on the climate crisis, but as we know, many of the issues in our world intersect with one another and can't be neatly defined. So there is definitely room for other issues to come in and to be discussed as well. So why are we here? I first dreamed up this session when my daughter was a tiny little four-month-old baby. I was on maternity leave. And so for company, I just have the radio on all day long. But with the radio comes like the news every single hour. And I also spent a lot of time on Instagram. As any of you who have had a Velcro baby will know that you can't do anything during that time except sit down. So I had a lot of time on Instagram, a lot of time listening to the news on the radio. And I just felt so overwhelmed by the news and by what I was seeing online. And it just felt so terrifying. And all of that was compounded by the fact that I had this precious baby that I was responsible for now and somehow was going to have to raise her in this world that seemed intent on destroying itself. I would do my best to try and like email my MP whilst she was having a nap, or my wife would come home and I'd be like, I think we need to start stockpiling food in case all the crops fail. And you know, I was just getting so anxious and so in my head about stuff. On top of like being a new mum and worrying about sleep and milestones and giving her solids for the first time, you know, there was just a lot going on in my brain, and I just wanted to have somewhere to talk about it. But when I would go to a mum and baby group or a toddler group, no one ever really talked about the heavy stuff. No, everyone wanted to talk about sleep and formula and breastfeeding and all of that, which, don't get me wrong, is important. And people do need that space to talk about those things. But no one ever wanted to talk about politics or the climate crisis or anything like that, which, you know, could be understandable because it is heavy. But I really just felt like I needed that space that I could talk to other parents and other caregivers about these big issues that were on my mind. And I figured that Greenbelt might be the place, and it seems like it is from all of you here. I also kind of felt like motherhood had left me in this kind of apolitical space. Like I was no longer at work. I was no longer organizing. I used to talk politics every day, and then suddenly I wasn't talking it at all. And I felt a little bit disempowered and like, where's my voice now? And what change can I make? But that's something we're going to explore a bit today and a bit later. I've also spoken to friends who were questioning the state of the world and questioning whether they should even have children in the first place because of the climate crisis. And these friends also wanted somewhere to talk to others who are feeling the same. And if that's you, you're so welcome here too. And this is the space. This space is just as much yours as it is anybody else's. So I know it's Friday morning. This literally might be your first thing you've come to, but we're going to be brave and talk to a new person. I just want you to turn to somebody near you for 30 seconds and tell them, why did you come to this session? And then I want you to ask them, why did you come to this session? Just for a minute. So go for that. Tell the person next to you why you came, and then we'll come back.
This is my microphone.
Okay, I think that's probably been a minute. I don't have a watch, so we had to guess. Hello. This is my daughter. She's come to say hi. Right, we're going to come back together now. And don't worry, there's going to be plenty of time for conversation in our next bit. So I found myself moving through a range of emotions as I was wrangling parenthood and the state of the world. And I wanted us to hold space now for us to explore these emotions together and talk about those things that we can't always talk about at toddler group or at the school gate. And these first set of emotions that we're going to go through are rage, anxiety, and grief. These were kind of the different emotions I found myself moving through. So I would like us to kind of focus on these now. They're such valid emotions, but often they're viewed as very negative. And that's why we don't talk about them so much. But we need these emotions because they help us, they fuel us to do something about the way that we're feeling. So here's our chance to talk about it now. We're going to spend 15 minutes doing this together. And you can divide your time however you like. You can hang out at Rage for the full 15 minutes. That's fine with me. Or you can divide your time between rage, anxiety, and grief. And just sit with people who want to talk about the same thing as you. And if you're a chatter like me, I challenge you to make sure you listen as much as you talk. And if you're someone who holds back, I challenge you to try and open up a little bit and share how you're feeling with the person you're speaking to. It would be really nice if it's like a tennis match, like we both speak an equal amount. If you have small people with you, they're welcome to join in. And I've bought some little children's books if they want to have a little browse of those, then they're very welcome. So yeah, we're going to hang out. Well, I've got this massive sheet of paper around here, but don't feel obliged to come over if you don't want to. But there's space for us to write how we're feeling and share our emotions on this big bit of paper in the middle. And that's where you might also meet somebody new to speak to. Or you can move around this space in the woodland. Okay, so we're going to go for it. We're going to be rageful. We're going to be anxious. And we're going to grieve for 15 minutes. And then we're going to come back. sorry to interrupt your conversations, but that's our 15 minutes up. So you can stay where you are, just kind of scoot round, or you can go back to your seats. That's fine too. We had some great conversations down here on the top. So hopefully where you were, you had some good conversations as well. But I think it's probably good for us all to like take a deep breath and just kind of like relax our shoulders, because it can be a lot to talk about these heavy things. And holding space for these emotions is really important. But we mustn't get stuck there. We must allow our rage and our grief and our anxiety to fuel our next steps. So we're going to do a little practice now to help us move forward from our rage and our anxiety and our grief. It's going to be an individual practice, but if you have children with you that would like to help you, obviously that's super welcome as well. We're going to try imagining the future for ourselves, a hopeful future, a future where it all goes well. In organizing, we say that if we can't imagine it, we can't build it, and we can't fight for it. So it's important that we spend time imagining the future. It gives us the energy to keep going in the world as it is. We're going to have 10 minutes now to sit and write our vision for the future. You can write it in whatever format is helpful for you, but I'm going to share mine for you now to kind of give you an idea. And I've written it as a day in the life. So let me share mine with you first, and then then you can do yours. So just sit back and listen. I wake up in the morning to the sound of birdsong outside. I can hear blackbirds and blue tits and wood pigeons. I get up and open the curtains. My garden has burst into life this summer with worms and dragonflies and bumblebees. I've even spotted evidence that a hedgehog has visited, and we've had a frog lay frog spawn in our pond. I open the window and smell the fresh morning air. The smell of car fumes and pollution is a distant memory. I go downstairs and switch on the kettle, which is powered by the solar panels on my roof. I make tea for me and my wife and turn on the radio. They are playing our favourite song. My daughter comes running down the stairs and we dance together, spinning and laughing and singing along. We pop across the road to pick plums and strawberries for our breakfast from the community garden that we share with our neighbours. As we eat, the news tells us that the Prime Minister, the first Green Party PM, has welcomed the President of Palestine to the UK to celebrate the upcoming anniversary of their independence and freedom from occupation. We get dressed after breakfast in clothes that don't have plastic in them, that were made by people who received a fair wage in return, and pack our bags for the day ahead. Our metal lunchboxes are full of yummy vegan snacks that will nourish our brains and our bodies. We walk out the front door and wave goodbye to Mummy. She's off to catch the electric bus to work. It's free and always on time. I get onto my bike and my daughter climbs into the trailer behind. We wave to our neighbours who we know by name as we pedal along the cycle paths that take us all the way to our forest school. It's Butterfly Week at Forest School and we are celebrating the return of the high brown fritillary butterfly from the brink of extinction. This is the first year we've spotted them in our woodland, thanks to the wildlife corridors that have been created across the country. After Forest School, we cycle to meet our friends at the beach. The air smells salty and we can hear the waves lapping at the sand. Although we technically live along the Thames estuary, the water is clean and clear, and we can swim in it without fear of falling ill. The beach is looked after by all who visit. No litter is dropped. And the beach and beach cleans are a thing of the past. We head home via our greengrocers where we buy organic, seasonal and affordable vegetables to have for dinner. We chat with the greengrocer about the local climate action group we are both a part of, and he throws in a handful of apples to enjoy on the way home. We pick up some pasta from the refill shop next door, and the shopkeeper teaches my daughter a few more words in Portuguese, which she has been learning in preparation for our holiday to Portugal in the autumn. We're going by train, as we always do, and plan to hire surfboards once we get there. In the evening, we listen to the new album from one of our favourite artists. Every song on the album was written and played by a human. It is beautiful and soulful, and we listen to it twice through. I read my daughter a bedtime story. It is full of different characters who are brave and kind and funny. Some of the characters look like her, and some of them don't. She tells me the best bits about her day, and I kiss her goodnight. I read a few pages of my book before my eyes become too heavy, so I lay down and go to sleep. So, you've got 10 minutes now. Oh, thanks. I really enjoyed doing that, and I kept having to come back to it and like add another bit. So you've got 10 minutes now to make a start, but you don't have to finish it in one go, because I really enjoyed like coming back to it. But you can write it as a day in the life. You can write it in whatever format that you like. But just start allowing yourself to imagine and hope for a better future. If you are somebody who likes to use pen and paper, then I've got some spare notebook paper if you don't have your own notebook. And this is my mum. She'll give you a piece of paper. But if not, use your own notebook, use your phone, whatever is best for you. And we're going to just have 10 minutes now doing that practice on our own. I'm really sorry to cut that time short, but we've got to make sure we've got time for everything. So I hope that you enjoyed starting that practice, and I hope that you find time to continue it over the weekend and to just keep returning to it whenever you are feeling particularly anxious or hopeless, that you can kind of find this again and just give yourself the space and the time to imagine a bright future for yourself and those around you. We're going to do some more talking now. We're going to move on from our rage and anxiety and grief, and we're going to move into wisdom, hope, and action. And I find that hope grows in community. So I really encourage you to find someone to speak to, because that is where we're going to find solidarity and community and hope with one another. Once again, there's paper down here. Under wisdom, I'm thinking if you have a little gem of wisdom that someone said to you once that you found really helpful, then please share it. I'm part of a little climate group near me, and someone said to me, the best thing anyone ever told me was to understand what you can control and understand what you can't control and focus on the can. And that really helped me as an anxious climate anxiety mama. So if you have some pearls of wisdom, please share them down here with under wisdom. And then we're going to talk about hope. What gives you hope? And what does hope look like for you? And then action. If you want to take some action right now, there's some postcards down here about Rosebank, where you can write to your MP about Rosebank. And there's also some leaflets for a group called Parents for Future, which is a national organisation for parents and caregivers who campaign on climate issues. So there's a loads of leaflets here if you want to take one to remind yourself when you get home. Or suggestions for other actions that people can take. And then I thought it'd be really lovely if we could share like books and resources that we know of that we can find useful. So it's really just a time of like shared learning and conversation and community just for 10 minutes or so. So let's do that now. Hello. Thanks for joining in with that. I hope that some pearls of wisdom were shared among you and that you found that helpful. I'm going to share something now from Sarah Bessie. Don't know if any of you follow her on Substack, but I recently discovered her Substack and she writes the most beautiful poetic articles on there, and I found one called I'm Going to Live Like There Is Hope, and I loved it so much, and I've shortened it because it's quite long, but I'll just read you a little excerpt from that to help us come to a close here. So it says, dear friends, well, against all odds and advice from experts, I'm going to live like there is still hope. In fact, I'm going to be downright ridiculous about it. I will be gentle with all my fears and heartbreak, the anxieties of being a person in this age at this moment. I'm going to take deep breaths and relax my jaw. I will abandon everything that whispers that it's best to give up, to stop trying, to give in to the despair. Everything holy has a bit of dirt on her chin and blood on her knuckles anyway. I won't forget that the outsiders are God's insiders. I'm going to make the coffee in the morning and hug my tall, beautiful, complicated children. I'm going to love these people in this house on purpose, in completely ordinary ways. Watch my eyes light up when they walk in the room. I'll remember that I'm not alone, not by a long shot, because you are here, and you are here, and you are here. And we are all doing our best to tip the scales toward goodness still. I'll make plans like the world will survive us. Today my friend became a grandmother, and so I am going to pick out the yarn to knit that baby a sweater. It takes so much hope to have a baby. At the very least, such a choice deserves a tiny sweater. I'm going to live as if everything will actually be made right someday and justice will prevail. Tears will be wiped away and every exile will lead the dancing. I'm going to stay informed and stay sane at the same time. Today, I'm going to live like there is hope. It's all I have and no one will take this from me. I just thought that was such a beautiful piece and I found it really helpful. So if you'd like to read the whole thing, her name is Sarah Bessie and you can see her on Substack. So as we come to a close, I'm thinking, where do we go from here? There may be some actions that you spoke about in your groups that you feel like you could go away and do. But what I thought would be great if people are up for it is maybe if you've met another parent or another carer here today that you had a great conversation with, that maybe you might like to swap numbers or email addresses or social media handles so that in like a month's time when we've left lovely, cozy, wonderful Greenbelt and we're back in the real world, that we might just have another parent to reach out to or another carer to reach out to who knows what it's like, who's been here today, who you know has, you know, similar values to you and is worried about similar things as you. And maybe you might just like to reach out to them and say, how are you doing a month after Greenbelt? And, you know, how's your brain? How's the world treating you? Obviously, that is completely optional. You don't have to do that. But I just thought it might be a nice opportunity for us to stay connected with one another after this session today. So I'm going to leave that for you to do at the end of the session, so no one feels pressured to do it. But I just wanted to say thank you so much for being here and for investing your energy in this session. My hope is that you leave this space feeling more connected and more hopeful. And I'm going to leave you with this final thought. Parenthood is deeply political. We are raising the next generation of people who will be responsible for our planet. We are shaping their worldview, laying the foundations for their values, which will inform their decisions on what career to follow, who to vote for, how to spend their money, how to treat other people. If all you're doing is raising your children to be empathetic and responsible and socially conscious, then your role is the most important of all, and you're doing amazing. Raising children is a form of protest. Raising children is a form of activism, and raising children is a form of resistance. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening to this recorded talk. Explore our full Greenbelt Festival Talks archive with almost 20 years of recorded talks and podcasts for free at greenbelt.org.uk/talks.